KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Legalizing marijuana use by adults in Washington and Colorado is a major shift in drug enforcement policy, but some believe it's only a first step. They feel all drugs should be legalized. We're going to hear three different views on this, including from former Seattle Police Chief Norm Stamper, who supports legalizing all drugs. And earlier today, we asked what you think.
All drugs definitely should be legalized. All drugs are currently available. If anyone really wants to do a drug, they're going to be able to find it. They're going to be able to do it.
Marijuana is a peaceful, easygoing drug that doesn't harm anyone. But I think it's insane to want to legalize all drugs.
Is it insane or just common sense? Give us a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Maybe you've got a question as this conversation goes on. Maybe it's an idea you're not really got your head around yet. It's 800-289-5869. You can also write to conversation@kuow.org. Jeffrey Myron is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, a public policy organization that pushes for a limited government. He's also a senior lecturer at Harvard University and author of the book Drug War Crimes, The Consequences of Prohibition. Jeffrey, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Why should we legalize all drugs, Jeffrey?
Basically, I think we should legalize them all for the same reasons we should legalize marijuana, because the attempt to outlaw substances that people want to consume doesn't get rid of them. It leads to black markets, and those black markets generate violence, they generate corruption, they lead to lower quality drugs in ways that harm the people who continue to use despite prohibition. They generate the transmission of diseases like HIV and hepatitis through sharing of dirty needles. So even though drugs clearly can cause harm when consumed, the attempt to prevent that via prohibition causes way more harm than the use of drugs themselves.
Jeffrey, you heard that caller distinguish between marijuana and other drugs. You don't distinguish?
Well, there certainly are differences. The potential for, say, adverse health consequences from heroin or cocaine are very different than from marijuana. It is certainly possible to overdose on the harder drugs, whereas it doesn't seem to be possible with marijuana. But that's only a small part of the story. If we prohibit anything for which there's substantial demand, whether it's heroin, whether it's caffeine, whether it's alcohol, whether it's marijuana, we generate the black markets, and that generates most of the negative things that people associate with these substances, the side effects of prohibition, not the effects of the drugs themselves.
Do you see legalizing drugs meaning that they would be unregulated, or would there be regulations on the sale of meth, cocaine, heroin if it was legal?
Well, my best guess is that there would certainly still be substantial regulation, just as there is, say, for alcohol and tobacco. The crucial thing is to distinguish whether the amount of regulation and taxation of legalized goods is sort of moderate, like alcohol and tobacco, so that they basically stay above, those markets stay above ground. They are a legal commodity which virtually all people purchase from legal sources. If you regulate them very, very heavily, or if you tax them very heavily, then you'll drive the market back underground as people attempt to avoid excessive regulation and taxation. So that's really no different than just prohibiting them. So it is possible to moderate behavior and use via regulation and taxation, but you can only do it up to a point. Okay, it has to be moderate enough if things stay above ground.
I'm sure you wouldn't deny that there are some ill effects from using drugs, meth addiction, heroin addiction. How would we mitigate against those if those drugs were utterly legal?
There absolutely are potentially negative effects. It's important to recognize that large fractions of people who use even these very serious substances do not necessarily have all those negative effects. It's important to recognize that many people have very serious negative effects from consuming goods that are legal now, like tobacco and alcohol. With all these things, we're trying to balance both the negatives of the substance versus the negatives of the policy. There are moderate policies which can nudge us in a good direction, taxation, regulation. Prohibition takes this extreme stand, which has never made a significant difference, as best we can tell, in how much people consume these things. So even though they're prohibited, we're still getting a lot of the addiction as thought of the negative health effects that do occur because many people continue to consume anyway. And so it would be better to eliminate all the side effects of prohibition even if that allows for some increase in use. The evidence from Portugal, by the way, which decriminalized all drugs, not just marijuana, is that use did not change very much. For some drugs, it went up a little. For some drugs, it went down a little. But overall, very modest changes in use.
So we've taken the first step here in Washington State, Jeffrey, and right. We're in the process of coming up with regulations. You mentioned one of the issues that should be closely looked at. You don't want to tax it too much because you'll still drive the drugs underground. What other facets do you think should be looked at really closely here in Washington State to prove that this can work, at least when it comes to marijuana?
Well, unfortunately, I think we may only get very limited evidence or experience with the Washington experiment or the Colorado experiment because those two states have legalized under their state laws, but the federal government still considers marijuana illegal, and it seems as though it intends to enforce the laws against production distribution. It remains to be seen whether those markets will really come fully above ground, even in those two states, because it depends crucially on what the federal government does. So that aside, I think people are, of course, very concerned about access for youth. So most people would want to advocate for minimum purchase ages. Now, we know from alcohol and tobacco that minimum purchase ages are not, completely effective by any stretch. In particular, when you make a minimum purchase age, as we do for alcohol, 21, it seems as though the main effect of that is to teach 18 to 20-year-olds that laws are silly, laws are for suckers because they get around them so routinely. So again, we can nudge things in a sensible direction with moderate minimum purchase ages, say 18, but if you try to make it too high, you're just going to be back to the same situation as if you had outlawed it.
Jeffrey, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Jeffrey Myron, senior fellow at the Cato Institute. His books include Drug War Crimes, The Consequences of Prohibition. We're asking today, should all illegal drugs be legalized? I'm at 206-543-5869. Has the government completely lost the war on drugs? Is legalizing marijuana just a first step? 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. We got this from Luke, who wrote, I've been sober 5 years since last month. I think that the manufacturer or import of these substances should remain illegal, but decriminalizing the use and possession of small amounts will free drug task forces to pursue the manufacturing and smuggling side. What are your thoughts on this? For another perspective, we bring into the conversation John Calkins. He chairs the Office of National Drug Council Control Policy's Data Research and Evaluation Committee. And John's also a professor of public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. John, thanks for your time.
Pleasure to be here.
Why do you think legalizing all drugs is not such a good idea?
Because not all drugs are alike. They're very different in how dangerous they are. It'd be a little bit like saying just because you want hunting rifles to be legal, then fully automatic assault rifles should be too. Jeffrey Myron says we shouldn't really ban anything, and so maybe we shouldn't ban fully automatic assault rifles because it'll create a black market too. I just don't think all drugs are equally dangerous.
What about the economic argument? Advocates of drug legalization say that drug use would be discouraged if they were legalized because they would cost more. We could tax them at a high rate, and increasing that price would deal with that. What do you think?
I think that's goofy. The price is vastly higher with prohibition than it would be legalized, and there's no way you can charge taxes high enough to make up the difference. Just way too easy to smuggle these things through the gray market because the drugs have much higher value-to-weight ratios than the other kinds of things that we put excise taxes on, like gasoline.
We're going to hear a former Seattle police chief in a few minutes tell us about how the prohibition on drugs, the policies we've been following have been an abject failure. He's not the only one. If not legalization, do you think there are faults in the way we're doing it now that could be rectified?
There are enormous faults. We put way too many people in prison. Just because you prohibit something doesn't mean you need to prohibit it the way we have been doing it. No country in the world has legalized cocaine or heroin, and there's an enormous variety of the ways that those prohibitions have been implemented. And it's not clear that it's an abject failure. Far fewer people are using heroin or cocaine than use tobacco or alcohol, and the consumption of cocaine has dropped very sharply in the last 4 years. It's not so obvious it's been a failure.
John, what about the Portugal example? They've decriminalized their hard drugs. They've not legalized, which is what we're talking about today. What do you draw from that example and that approach?
I think it tells you about decriminalization. It tells you just about nothing about legalization. There is a night and day difference between just refusing to put criminal sanctions on mere users and endorsing for-profit companies to go whole hog into making large quantities and bringing their marketing muscle to bear behind promoting the use.
Is there anyone who's following a policy that you advocate that's had success with it when it comes to drugs?
Yeah, Australia, for instance, could be held up as a model. When you really dig into it, things are complicated, so I'd rather pick and choose pieces of policies from a variety of countries around the world, and that's sort of hard to do in a radio interview level.
Well, we're going to leave it there for now. Obviously, there's a lot more to talk about that we're not going to get to. John Calkins, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
John chairs the Office of National Drug Control Policy's Data, Research, and Evaluation Committee. 206-543-5869. The conversation today is around the topic of legalizing all drugs. Give us a call if you've got an opinion on that. Maybe you've just got a question about it for one of our guests. It's 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Welcome back to the program, Norm Stamper, former chief of police of the Seattle Police Department. He's now a spokesperson for the group Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, known as LEAP, and the author of the book Breaking Rank, a top cop's expose of the dark side of American policing. Norm Stamper, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
From a law enforcement perspective, why do you think we should legalize all drugs?
Well, because what we're doing now has been a dismal failure. Almost 80% of the American people, when asked if the drug war has been successful, answer in the negative. What that means, essentially, is not only have we failed to meet the objectives of a drug-free society, we have cost ourselves an enormous amount of money and time and energy and imagination. And we're not focused on the violent predatory crimes that really cause people to become permanently frightened in their lives, to change the way they live as a result of burglaries and robberies and rapes and, for that matter, domestic violence or drive-by shootings or home invasion robberies. These are the kinds of crimes that we should be focused on.
Wouldn't more people use meth or heroin or cocaine if it were legal?
You know, I don't know whether it was your show or Steve's show on KUOW, but a couple of years ago, a caller who happened to be a recovering meth addict said, "I agree with everything you're saying about marijuana. I don't know how in good conscience you can possibly advocate the legalization of crystal meth. Let me tell you my story, and I'll abbreviate it." He was a crystal meth addict for about 10 years, lost his wife, lost his kid, lost his job, lost his self-esteem, came very close to losing his life. That's under a system in which that particular drug is already prohibited. It was unlawful for him to possess it. It was certainly unlawful for him to do what he was doing, which was cooking it. I have a picture of his in my mind of a four-year-old kid sitting in front of TV eating Cheerios while his dad is cooking crystal meth in the kitchen. That describes a very dangerous, unregulated, utterly unregulated situation. So I think we have a choice. We can either allow the drug cartels and the major traffickers within this country to monopolize commerce and to regulate themselves. Their sole motive is profit. That being the case, they don't card 14-year-olds. They don't care what they give to people of any age. And one consequence of that, of course, is that we've made, as a result of prohibition, we've made for a very lucrative occupation in drug dealing with no help to those who need it, no prevention, no education, very little treatment opportunities. If we were, in fact, to turn this whole thing on its head and ask ourselves whether or not this is a criminal justice issue or a public health issue, and we were to answer in the affirmative, we would be almost overnight a much safer and healthier society.
You mentioned regulation, so I assume that means you feel as though government would be involved in regulating the production and sale of heroin and cocaine and meth. Does that present its own host of problems?
It does. It clearly does. There's no perfect system, but I would submit that the system under which we are operating now is greedy and evil people preside over the regulatory system. They're making money hand over fist, and they're using patterns of violence, types of violence that were unheard of 5, 10, 15 years ago, just unspeakable acts of torture and very public killings throughout Mexico, for example, numbering about 60,000 since 2006. So we can either allow these people to continue to regulate that market, or we can put it in the hands of an admittedly imperfect government system. But I submit that it would be a far safer way of controlling those drugs than the one we have now, which is essentially no control.
Well, assuming the federal government does not step in to prevent the legalization of marijuana here in Washington State and in Colorado, what are the kind of pitfalls that could develop if it's handled poorly by state governments?
Well, I think Professor Myron pointed out the most important issue that we face going forward, and that is, at what level do we tax this product? At what level do we impose excise taxes on growers, on processors, on retailers? If we set that level too high, it will do nothing to discourage either the black or the gray market. If we're smart about it and we tax at a level comparable to tobacco and alcohol, we'll still have some people buying drugs for others and the like, getting around our existing system, for example, with alcoholic beverage control. But we would, in fact, take a giant step forward in helping to reduce access among children and ensuring for quality along the line. Sounds oxymoron. Please, I hope nobody hears that I'm advocating, that I'm encouraging or condoning drug use of any kind. I'm not. What I am saying, what Professor Myron said, is that prohibition has produced more violence, more corruption, more problems by far than it has solved.
Hey, Norm, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for yours.
Norm Stamper, former chief of police of the Seattle Police Department. Now he's active in a group called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Got this email from Rich, who wrote, would anyone want neighbors doing cocaine, PCP, et cetera, next door to their kids playing outside? The whole concept is ridiculous. We've got Dennis on the line from Wedgwood. Dennis, do you think this is a ridiculous concept?
I do think it's a ridiculous concept. I think that, you know, these hard drugs that are now illegal need to stay illegal for many reasons. I think that a lot of these drugs people can overdose and kill themselves with, and that, you know, marijuana, which, you know, is now or is going to be legal in Washington, you can't overdose with, and has a lot less, health risks and health, bad health results from taking it.
Hey, thanks a lot for that call, Dennis. We got time for one more call. We'll go to Bryce, who's calling us today from the Fremont neighborhood. Bryce, what do you think about this idea of legalizing all drugs?
I think it's a good idea. I was caught with about $300 worth of ecstasy, which apparently is a Class A felony. And as a recent college graduate, it basically has destroyed my future earning potential for, you know, the rest of my life. And I just think that, I mean, how many other people has this happened to where if you just look at just merely the tax base that it's ruining, I think that more research needs to be done into what the actual ill effects are before we put these this kibosh on all drugs like we are today.
Hey, Bryce, thanks for calling us. Stay on. I'm going to put you on hold. Stay with us for a second. We'd like to maybe recontact you about this issue once again. This is KUOW 94.9 Seattle. You can weigh in on this at our Facebook page. KUOW is The Conversation, and it will continue there. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.